We can come into your presence. We can be with you, Lord. And I'm just thankful for that. And I just pray for a new year, Lord, as we look at the new year. I just pray right now, Lord, in our hearts and our minds, we would be thinking about making a new commitment to you. And I pray that you just move us in that way, Lord. We're just so thankful for another year. We're thankful for the year that just went past, and we're thankful for what lies ahead. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just bless this time that we have with you. I just pray right now, Lord, that your presence would be felt in our hearts, and that you would touch us and move us, Lord. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. But we know who went to bed early last night, huh? I was asleep at like 11, so I didn't even hear anything. So that's me. That's just, I don't know. I love New Year's for this simple thought, for this simple thing right here. You have a chance to reset things in your life. I mean, I just love that idea. I love that thought. I really do. It's a time of year when we make resolutions to quit bad habits and start establishing new ones, right? There's a motivation for whatever reason. I don't know exactly why, but there's always this motivation to want to make some changes in your life. And it's always centered around New Year's. So this morning, I just want to kind of ride that wave, that thought, because it's not very often I get to preach on New Year's Day. You know, I just don't. So there's a motivation here, and I just want to ride this wave. Hopefully you're feeling a little encouragement this morning, and I just want to kind of surf on that. Is that all right? You guys all awake, right? We're good to go. So this morning's message is just titled, New Year's, New Ways. And so I just want you to think about it. And I want to encourage you with just some easy things that can change, and you can change in your life, that will make a big impact on the way that you live your faith. So we're not going to just take down a scripture and break it down like we normally do. I'm going to give you a motivational and encouragement sermon this morning. Is that all right? All right. Go for it. I like that. Every year people make resolutions, right? Every year. Did you know that? The top 10 resolutions, you want to hear what they are? I just got this off a website, and it looked pretty good to me. The number one resolution people make, what do you think? Lose weight. Lose weight. I'm right on board with them on that. Another, number two is to get organized. It's amazing that I'm right there. I want to lose some weight, and I want to get organized. I'm already thinking of ways. Spend less, save more. You know, we think about that. Enjoy life to the fullest. We hear that and believe that. Staying fit and healthy. There's another staying fit and healthy thing. Learn something exciting. That's a good one. Quit smoking. I don't know. That's still around. It's kind of interesting. Help others in their dreams. I like that one. I never really thought about that, but it's in the top 10. Fall in love. You know, some people fall in love. I fell in love 29 years ago. I'm still in love. Look, and I see this over here laughing. I'm glad. Spend more time with family is number 10. Most resolutions, though, we know don't last very long, do they? Most of them will not get out of January. Did you know that? They won't. So I'm not trying to douse it, but I thought this was an interesting stat that only 8% of them make it to February. And those people that keep those 8%, over 40% of them, their lives were changed forever. So it's really kind of an interesting thought that if you can get past January and make it a part of your life, it has a huge impact on your life. That's what I took from that. And you know, another thing I was thinking about this is that, you know, the older I get, the less resolutions you make. You know, eventually I think you get to a point where you just say, no more resolutions, because they just aren't going to work, right? The wonderful thing about being a Christian is this, though, that in Christ, we have our old patterns of life put to death, and we can walk in a new pattern of life. I don't know how else to say that, but that is a very liberating and freeing thought. It's profound if you dwell on it and think about it. The Bible tells us this in Romans 6:4. It says, therefore we have been buried with him by baptism and into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. And I love that. That we can walk in a new way of life. Our old ways are buried. As Baptists, we observe two ordinances in the church. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there's two ordinances that Baptists follow, and it's the Lord's Supper and baptism. Those are the only two ordinances that Baptists follow. And you'll see most Protestants are along that line. In both, we remember Christ and we look to the future. We also recognize that our lives were changed forever by our encounter with Christ. You think about it, in the Lord's Supper and baptism, we are symbolizing that encounter with Christ, and we're remembering it. And we're looking to a future time, right? When we look at our baptism, we see our old way of life was buried. It died. It's no longer there. It went into the water. We come out in a new way of walking in Christ. It symbolizes our life change. In the Lord's Supper, we remember Christ and his sacrifice for us and how it impacts our lives daily and how we should be moved to live our lives in relationship to Christ and sharing Christ and being like Christ. As Christians, we can walk free of the burden of our past and the weight of guilt. Think about that for a moment. We can walk free of the burden of the past and the guilt that comes with it. We don't have to carry that around. It's gone. It's gone. It's us who remembers that. It might be other people who put that bug in our ear to help us remember things, but in Christ, it's gone. Doesn't exist anymore. We move with a fresh sense of urgency because now we live with a new purpose. We walk with a new confidence when we face adversity, because we know our Savior walks with us. And in that, we have great hope. You should have great hope in knowing that no matter what situation you face, Christ is with you. He's walking with you no matter what. We have hope now, and we have hope for the future. We should be a very joyous people. We should be the happiest people on earth, knowing that no matter what we go through, we have hope. Right? Amen? Not only do we have hope, but we walk in peace with the Lord, knowing that we are His. We walk in peace with God because we know we are His. He is our Father. He is our shield, our fortress, and our salvation. We are children of the King. Think about that for a moment. We are children of the King. You want to talk about a lifting of self-esteem? Think about that for a minute. You're a child of the King. And we are to live for the glory of God. Scripture tells us, my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but at now as always with all boldness, Christ be highly honored in my body, whether in life or by death. For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. I mean, there's hope there. I mean, I want to live my life in such a way that Christ is glorified in everything that I do, because doing that is life. I mean, Christ is honored in my life and it raises me up, right? And it gives me hope. And it also tells me that in the future, no matter what, I gain. I don't lose in death. I gain in death. So to die, it's all right. You know, it's a glorious day to be here right now, but on that day when I go home, that's even more glory. I mean, because I'm going home. This time is done. That excites me. Not that I'm eager to get there. You know, I don't want to say that, but I trust what's going to happen. Our walk becomes our way of life. Each one of us, you think about this, has a unique walk. Have you ever, like, identified somebody by their walk? Huh? There's some people that just have, like, a distinctive walk. You're probably thinking of somebody in your family or someone you grew up with that just has a walk that's all their own. But we all have a walk, don't we? I mean, each one of us could walk in here, and I bet you could identify people by the way they walk. It is no different than our walk with Christ. Each one of us has a different walk with Christ. It's different. Each one of us, we could share all kinds of different stories, and we could say that we're all at different points of growth, right? Not all of us are in the same level of knowledge and knowing and walking with Christ. And we all have different life experiences. We have been on different places in our lives where Christ has met with us. And so we're different. We have a little different flavor, a different walk in the way that we live our life in our faith. But we hold this all in common. But we all hold this in common, that we're all witnesses to how Jesus walks with us. We all share our story in which Christ walks with us on this path, in this life. Amen? And we're all growing. We're all on the same path of faith, and we're all learning to trust in the Lord. So I just want to encourage you that we're all at different levels. Don't worry about if someone's a little bit ahead of you or a little bit behind you. Just worry about walking with God, where you're at, because He'll move you along. Trust me, He will move you along. Here's what 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says. Finally, brothers, we ask and encourage you in the Lord that as you have received from us and how you must walk and please God, as you are doing so, so even more. What he's saying there is let us encourage each other to walk to please God. We are encouraged. Paul is encouraging the church in Thessalonica to walk with God. And so we want to encourage one another in our walk, right? I hope so. With this in mind, I want to encourage you this year to make a fresh commitment to Christ. I want to encourage you to make a fresh commitment to Christ. Here's one of the real challenges of becoming a Christian is this reality. I want you to just take note of this. It's a daily life. It's a daily life. The hardest thing you'll face in Christianity is that it's daily. It is. If you stop and think about it, I mean, you're good on Sunday and you're good on other parts, but what are you doing on the other days? Because it's a daily thing. I think that's what I find most challenging is most people, we just don't even think of it in that terms, that it's a daily thing. We're not Christian once and done, like signing an agreement and you're there. It's a daily thing. You are Christian every day. And that means every day you need to connect with your faith in some way. You need to connect with your faith, which is another reason we need to encourage each other daily. And I hope that you're having connections in your church that is feeding you and encouraging you to walk in your faith daily. One of the ways that we can do this is a term that I took up from the Air Force, and I was thinking about this, is that, you know, in the Air Force, there's this whole idea. So all my Air Force veterans, I know I got three of you I know of, is a wingman, to have a wingman. Everybody in the Air Force talks about having a wingman. Who's your wingman? Where's your wingman? You're going out on Friday night, who's your wingman? You know, you're having trouble with this, who's your wingman? They talk about it a lot because, see, a wingman is someone who's always there for you and won't let you down. If you're screwing up, they're there to help you get things right, right? Sometimes we need that, right? But you want a wingman. If you're in trouble, a wingman's there for you. They're there to help lift you up and get you moving. It's someone who watches out for you, encourages you, holds you accountable. And I just want to encourage you is to find someone who can watch out for you. Find you a wingman. It could be a husband, wife. That's a common one. But there's friends, too, outside of that. I would encourage you to find a wingman. Someone who can check in on you. Someone who you can spend time in prayer with. Because I think that's important, is to have someone you can spend in time for. And someone you can share your trials and struggles with. I think that's it's important because you want to have someone that you can trust and say things to that you normally wouldn't say to other people, but they're your wingmen. The thing is that you don't want to go at the Christian faith alone. You can't, you won't last. You need people. You need connections. Another thing I want to say is read your Bible. You know, I say this all the time, and I know you probably get tired of hearing it. And I just encourage you to find a wingman to help you read the Bible. There you go. There's another reason for a wingman. There's all kinds of Bible reading plans out there. I even put some on the back table that I use, the discipleship journal one. And I just to show you how my thinking is, look, I have my old one here. It's all filled out, and it really gave me a lot of joy to put those last little check marks in it. And you can see that it's pretty worn out, and I carry it around everywhere with me. In fact, I'll panic if I can't find this thing, you know. So I always know where it is. And look, I've already printed up my new one on a little tougher sheet because this one got wore out a little bit. So a little rougher paper. So, you know, I got it in my Bible, and I know where it's at. And I'll start checking it off. You know, I don't look at the future boxes. I just focus on right now, and I just keep working through it. But I take great satisfaction in checking these boxes off and just being just reading through my Bible. So I just want to encourage you this morning. There are so many resources, and here's the ones out on the table, and it's the same one that I use. And you know what I like about it is I know where I am every year in the Bible. I mean, it's kind of encouraging. I know certain parts I'm going to be reading through at certain times of the year. So I just like that. Some people don't. Some people want change, and that's fine. You know, I even have my phone in the pulpit this morning for this one reason. So I could go, look, I can pull up an app. It's called YouVersion. And there's tons of apps out there for your Bible. But YouVersion is a great one in that you can, it has so many plans. Look, I can open it up. If you're in the tech world, I can open it up. And right at the bottom, it has plans. It's so simple. And look, there's a million plans in here. You can read 2 weeks on Jesus or, you know, there was all kinds of, I thought it was interesting, worship, women's studies, listening, pursuit, men's studies, youth studies, kids reading, and it's all centered on reading scripture on different aspects of life. So take advantage of it. Get in there and get reading your plans. The main thing is to immerse yourself in the Word of God, to marinate it. I did that for Don, because Don likes to marinate meat. You know, and I was just thinking about that, you know, because you know what I love about that? It's a great analogy, being a meat lover. But when you marinate something, it doesn't change the fact that it's a steak, right? But it changes everything about the steak. It's totally different afterwards. It's not the same. It's a piece of meat, but it's not the same piece of meat, right? It has something different about it. See, this is the thing. When you immerse yourself in the Bible, this is what's going to happen. It's going to start to shape your thinking. You're going to start seeing things a little bit different. It's going to start shaping the way that you view the world, the way you view suffering, the way that you view giving, the way that you look at forgiveness and grace and all these beautiful and wonderful things about the Bible. You will start to see them, and it will give you a biblical perspective. You will see it from the lens of Scripture. Remember, most importantly, here's what I want to say, is that it takes time and commitment. Just know that right off, it's going to take time and commitment. It's okay. It's okay. Stay patient. Don't beat yourself up if you fall behind. It's okay. Just get into it. Just stay with it in some way. If you're reading, if you're hearing this and you're saying, reading the whole Bible is an impossibility, Pastor Steve. I just can't do that. Listen, just read a chapter in a gospel once a day. Just grab a chapter in the gospel. You know one of the things? The Psalms, there's like 150 Psalms. If you, or 155, can't remember, 150. If you read a Psalm every day, that's 3 months. You can go through them a couple times. If you say, that's just too much, Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. You can read one chapter of Proverbs for every day of the month. There you go. There's so many ways, but I just want to encourage you to stay with it. Just stay with it. Here's another way that can help you. Just thinking about it. These are some things I do. Write something down. Write it down. Write it down. Maybe you're one of those kind of people. Keep a journal. Keep a notepad. I have sticky notes on my desk. Anybody knows me has these yellow big sticky notes. And if something grabs me, what do? I write it on the sticky note. And I might just carry that around with me. But just write it down. Because there's something about taking a thought in your head and writing it down. Because it kind of verifies the thought. And it kind of changes. It kind of puts it into your head in a different way. It just changes the way that you see it. So I just would ask you to write it down. Carry cards with you. Think about one thought that you're reading from the verse that day. And just make it a part of your day. Marinate in that thought. Whatever it is. Could be a small thought, could be a big thought, but just write it down. Listen, you can listen to the word. You know, Sharon in YouVersion, she's been reading through the Bible, and every night in her bed, I can hear her upstairs because it's reading. She's scrolling along as she's reading. So the guy's reading to Sharon as she's looking on her phone and listening to it. So that's another way. You can listen to it. How many of you drive and commute? If you drive anywhere, you can play it on your speakers. You can listen to it. And there's so many apps and there's so many ways that you can do this now. You can even get it on CD. You could get it on cassette if that's what your car has. You might even find an 8-track for some of you. I don't know. But get it to be a part of your word. Read God's word and do so prayfully. I would encourage you to do so prayfully. When you're reading and listening to God's word, just pray before that God would speak to you. Because he speaks to us through his word. Ask him, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me through your word. Teach me something. And here's another thing. Expect to hear from him. When you ask him that, expect to hear from him. Because he's going to speak to you. Might not be what you want, but he's going to talk to you. I promise you. Pray before you read and ask God to teach you. Hang with me. Become a giver. Become a giver. Give regularly. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 says this. Remember, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will reap generously. Each person should give as he's decided in his heart and not reluctantly or out of necessity. That's a very interesting thing. For God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Listen, you can't afford not to give. Let me tell you that right now. You can't afford not to give. Because when you start giving regularly, you change your spending habits. It changes the way that you give. I guarantee you, it builds your faith. And God, listen, regular giving changes our heart and it becomes a part of who you are. You start to give. It's amazing to me how, you know, you hang on to things or you just give the minimum amount. But when you start giving a little bit more than what the 10% or whatever number you have in your head, it changes the way you want it. You want to give more. Why stop there? Let me give more. It also makes you mindful of others' needs. It gives you thanks and recognizing that God is giving you everything. So why wouldn't you share it? Think of it like this way. It's a privilege that God has given you to share with others. That's what you're doing. You're sharing God's blessing with others. That's the opportunity you have in giving. So I just want to encourage you to become a giver. Watch what happens if you do. Trust me on that. I know, arms folded in the back. I got it. I believe it when I see it, right? That will. Here's another thing. Connect regularly with Christians through fellowship and worship. Being a Christian is to grow in community. And you say, well, I don't need community. I got God. Listen, God walked the earth. His name was Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus do it alone? What did he do? He had 12 disciples he pulled in, and there was probably even more people that was following him around. Because it doesn't even tell you, it could have been up to 70, 80 people in his entourage that he brought in. He lived life in community. They lived every day together. Right? In the early church, we see what? We see them breaking bread daily. Every day they were together. And yet we come in this 2016 and we think we can do this by meeting on Sunday morning and by once a week in a life group. We need to connect. We need to connect regularly. We need to encourage each other. So if you're sitting on the outside, I'm encouraging you to connect. Come on in. The water's nice. Come on in and join us. Because you'll see a change if you do that. Okay. Are you getting this? You want to connect? Here's another way you can connect with people. If you're having trouble with that idea, here's a way that you can connect with people. Pray for them. Pray for them. Take a prayer list. In your bulletin, there's a prayer list. Did you know that? There's a prayer list. Take it out. You know, you can crease this like this. Look, I do this. You crease it. You just crease it a couple times here. And this thing will tear like beautifully. You know? You just tear it. Look, it won't tear now, right? Look, beautiful. Right there. I got it. And I can carry this around with me. I can put it in my Bible. I can put it, you know, like a place that you know you're at a lot. Maybe it's a TV and it's a stand next to you. Wherever it is, put the little list there. Every once in a while, pick it up and pray for somebody on the list. You'll start thinking about and connecting with people. You could be like Pastor Neely, who takes the church directory and he prays for everybody in the church directory. He does it. He picks every day of the week. If you're in the church directory, ask him. You have a day of the week that he's praying for you. Think about that. That's another way you can connect. See, that's the one thing we want to connect with people. We want to pray for them. We want to have names that you write down. Another thing is, you know, when God prompts you, I don't know if you've ever been walking around and God all of a sudden prompts you about somebody, that you think about somebody, pray for that person at that time. If someone says, hey, I got this operation I'm going to go to, will you pray for me? And you go, I'll pray for you. How many of you forget to pray for them? Come on, be honest. You forget, right? Pray for the person right then. You're like, when someone says something to me like that, like it just happened this morning about knee surgery, Gary was telling me, and I said, I pray for him. When he walked out, guess what I was doing? I started praying for him because you know what? I know I'm going to get busy and I'll forget about it. But you know what? Right then at that moment, I prayed for him. I prayed for his surgery that's coming up Wednesday. You know, and that puts it in my head. It locks it in there. I start to think about it a little bit more. Do it intentionally. Do it right then. And then lastly, and you're thinking just about relationships, family relationships, extend grace to people, be quick to forgive, say I'm sorry fast. If you make a mistake, so what? Just say I'm sorry. Even if it's, you know, just put pride to the side. You know, it's more important that we have the relationships than being right and wrong. I'm just coming to that conclusion. I see so much hurt on just, you know, because of whatever reason, you didn't write me a card or you didn't say this, you didn't say thank you, you didn't give me a gift or whatever it is. You know, I can think of a million things. I'm just not going to talk to you. It just, to me, seems so ridiculous. I see it in my own family. I mean, they just don't talk to each other because of the silliest reasons. They'll just cut you off. And you know what I see in that? I just see arrogance and I just see immaturity and I just see hurt. It hurts me because the people on the receiving end of that are hurt. They get hurt, you know, and it doesn't help anybody. So let's just avoid that. Let's be fence makers. Let's be peacekeepers. Let's build relationships. Let's show them Christ. Let's share Christ in what we do. Let him be the center of attention. Lastly, draw near to God. And I'm promising I'm wrapping this up, but there's just so much I was thinking about on this. So I'm just, I hope you bear with me. Lastly, draw near to God. Draw near to God, James tells us, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Now that's James, right? He just doesn't even hold back. And one of the one things that I want to just take from that is to become confessional. Be confessional. What do I mean by that? It means confess your sins quickly. Confess your sins quickly. You know, when you are doing something, how many of you like know when you have sinned? I hope you're all shaking your head. You know when you cross the line, right? In a conversation, something you said, something you thought about, whatever it is, something you watched on TV and you were at a reaction to it, your mom calls you, whatever it is, that just kind of gets you. You know when you cross the line. And here's what the Bible says. It says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you know what? Confess your sin. And confess it right then. You know, you don't have to get on your knees and like make a big production about it. Just simply say, Lord, forgive me for that thought. Lord, help me not to have those kind of thoughts. Help me, Lord, to walk in a way that you want me to walk. Help me repent of this. Just confess it. Just make it a part of your life that you become, you just confess your sins. Do it quickly. So I've given you a lot to think about. And I hope you feel encouraged and motivated this way to walk in a new way of life. Some of you look like you're ready to go home and have a nap, but that's okay. I understand. And I pray this morning that you would just embrace Christ and that you're in Christ and that being in Christ changes everything. You know, I love this verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. So whatever it is that's holding you back, let it die. Just let it go. Let it go. Put it behind you. Put the past behind you. Put all those things that hold you back just behind you. Let it be buried and rise to a new way of life and walk in that. Just walk in that. Let 2017 be a year that you made a fresh commitment to God. That you just said, you know, I'm tired of playing all these little games in life and I'm going to walk in a new way. And I truly am going to I'm not going to be part of the 8%. Or I'm going to be a part of the 8%. I'm not going to be a part of the 92%. I'm going to actually make a change. And I'm going to turn to the people in my church to help me make that change. Because that's how we're going to do it. We can't do it alone. We need each other. Let's make a new commitment to Christ, to grow in Christ more than ever. And I just want to encourage you just one more time as we close this out. To stay patient. Stay patient. Don't beat yourself up, but stay with it. Connect with others. Have a wingman. Just have a wingman. And that's what I just want to encourage you to do. Is that all right? I give you a lot of stuff. You know, I'd encourage you if I just totally blew past you, you know, listen to the sermon. It'll be online, and you can jot down some of the little ideas that you lost. Maybe I was just going too quickly, but it's there. But here's the thing this morning. If you never put your faith in Christ, and I'm looking around here, if you've never put your faith in Christ, come put your faith in Christ. If you're here and you've been a Christ follower for a long time, maybe this morning you come forward and make a new commitment to Christ. Renew your commitment. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing embarrassing saying, hey, I want to walk a little closer with Christ this year. I want to recommit my life to Him. And as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, I want you to just think about who Christ is and who you are in Christ, and that you are a new creation in Christ. And I'm so thankful for the body and the blood of Christ that makes that possible. Because without it, I'd be lost. Right? I have new opportunities. It's New Year's Day, and I have a new opportunity on January 1st, 2017. I can't believe it's 2017. To make a new commitment. To walk in a whole new way. Now, I don't have to live the other way. I can trust Him more this year. All right, I'm going to stop. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much right now, Lord, for Your love and Your commitment to us, Lord. I'm just so thankful in so many ways right now, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that, you know, we just shared a whole bunch of methods on how to draw closer to You, Lord. And I just pray right now that You would just mainly just burn in our hearts, Lord, and that we would just know Your presence. And that we would look to You, Lord, and we would trust You more. And I just pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that's never put their faith in You, I pray right now You would just invade their hearts in a profound way, Lord, and You would draw them to You. I pray, Lord, that if everybody's sitting here, Lord, that has made a commitment to You, Lord, that this morning they would take a step and just really drawing near to You, to fully make a commitment to You and giving of their time and their resources and of their lives, Lord, and that they would look at the other people, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I pray that would just become a part of who we are this morning. And again, Lord, we just thank You. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You that He gave His body that we might have life, and that He shed His blood that we might have the forgiveness of sin. Lord, that we can truly lay aside all those things that hold us back, Lord. And we're thankful. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.